This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, always good once again to check in with our friends at SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, which Dr. King described as his favorite union for all the good work they do and those whom they represent. We're joined today by the president of SEIU Virginia Local 512, Lenoro Thomas. Madam President, how are you?
I am great, Reverend Mark. How are you?
Just fine. Good to meet you and glad to have you here. Is Virginia home for you? Is that your native home?
It is not my native home. It is home now. It has been home for the last 15 years or so, but Savannah, Georgia is my native home.
Okay, well, that's fine. Savannah's good, too.
Yeah. Right.
So what are some of the issues that you're dealing with? And we also know the good news is we now have a Virginia State Council.
We do. We're very excited about that.
So tell us, first, let's start there. When and how did the State Council come together?
So the State Council was founded this year in 2024. And the way that it came about was, we're organizing the South. We are organizing in Virginia. SEIU Virginia 512 and SEIU 32BJ are committed to making sure that every worker in Virginia, regardless of sector, job, race, all of the things, they have an opportunity to join a union. And so because of that, we formed a state council to really help us come together, build a stronger political voice, build a stronger community where workers are welcome to really come together and advocate. And this all really started a few years ago. We overturned the ban on collective bargaining for public sector workers in the state. It was a 45-year ban, a long fight. And the ban was actually overturned in 2020 and then implemented in 2021. And so now is the time for us to really ramp up our organizing. And what better way to do that than to make sure that we're in partnership with our sister local 32BJ.
And you all have done all that in spite of a Republican governor who's been aggressive in other areas, but it shows your power. You've overcome all of that.
Yes, yes. Regardless of political party and who's in control, workers have the ultimate say. And our members are committed to continuing to fight no matter who's in the governor's mansion.
So Local 512 represents pretty much health and home care workers, correct?
Yes, we represent home care workers throughout the state and then city and county employees in Fairfax, Loudoun, Prince William, and Richmond.
Now, those city and county employees, what are their job descriptions?
So it varies from family services workers, parks and recreations, courts. We also represent the deputy sheriffs in Fairfax County. So law enforcement, human services workers, child protective services workers, librarians. So there's a wide range of workers that we represent.
So in representing all those workers, let's start with home and health care, because I know the fight has been around living wages, healthcare, sick leave. Where are we on that?
So you know what? We are celebrating today. We're super excited because President Biden has actually followed through on a campaign that he started back in 2020 when he initially took off, or before he took office. He started the Build Back Better initiative that failed. Unfortunately, there were just not enough votes, but he made a commitment to still make changes in the long-term care system to address the crisis that just is horrible in this country when we think about long-term care. And so just yesterday, the administration issued two rules through HHS that will impact long-term care, which will ultimately help our members here in Virginia. The two rules were specifically around nursing home staffing ratios. And there are now rules in place that dictate the number of residents CNAs and RNs can care for during a shift. But specifically for home care workers, which we're super excited about in Virginia, is that the rule says that 80% of Medicaid dollars that come into a state have to be utilized on compensation. It's a game changer. So many times, Medicaid dollars are used however agencies or the state sees fit. But now with this new rule that HHS just issued yesterday, 80% of the Medicaid dollars have to be used for compensation. And states also have to create a work group, which will include consumers, home care providers, and other stakeholders to really oversee this process and work in community together to make sure that the programs are being utilized properly. We're celebrating today. We're excited that the administration, what President Biden could do, he has done. And for a workforce that for generations has just been left behind, has been written out of every rule. And so we're just excited that this workforce that is overwhelmingly women of color has been written into some rules.
Yeah. And as you said, been left out historically. People need to remember that even when Social Security was first established, we were left out. And back then we were called, women were called domestics.
Yeah.
And I was talking not too long ago with another member of your union. It's a cultural thing in America that women of color are supposed to take care of people who are elderly and sick and just not get paid for it. Because that's what we did on plantation.
Absolutely. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Y'all ridiculous. Y'all ain't never been paid for that. So this is just what you are supposed to do. You're born to just take care of folk.
Right.
No, so that is good news. So 80% goes to compensation.
80%.
That's a game changer. So
extremely.
So now, will that translate into a better living wage?
We're going to make sure it does. We are going to make sure that it translates into a living wage, that it translates into union contracts to make sure that every home care provider in Virginia, I'll speak for Virginia, is able to earn a living wage, because now we have the rule. We have the guidelines from the federal government that says you have to do this. And so we're going to hold Virginia accountable to making sure that it happens.
How big of a disparity is there between your members who are working in facilities versus your members who are working in people's homes?
As far as wages?
Yeah.
Oh, a huge disparity. Okay. Very much so. There's even a disparity. So home care workers in Virginia, there are two different pay scales. If you live in Northern Virginia, you earn just over $17 an hour. Anyone living, I think it's Fredericksburg, below Fredericksburg, Virginia, which about midway, not even midway, just outside of Northern Virginia, they earn $13.30 an hour, I think. So there's, even within the home care system, there's wage disparity.
Why is that? What is that about?
So it's always been explained to us that it's because of the cost of living in Northern Virginia. But it's as we all know, inflation is real and it's expensive to live anywhere now. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
What about some of the other municipal employees you represent? What's their status in terms of? Oh, let me not leave home care. So you talked about the wage piece, but now where are we specifically on sick leave, sick days, health care itself for them? Got folks take care of people and they don't have health care, right?
They do not. They still do not have health care. They have the ability to purchase health care through the national health care system, but they do not have employer provided health insurance. So that is still a huge problem. And then as far as paid sick leave, so a few years ago, we were able to advocate and win 5 paid sick days, but that's all they have. And you could imagine if you're working in healthcare, you're caring for someone in their home, only having 5 days is not, you go to work sick a lot, which is a problem.
Yeah, that's not good. And when it comes to some of the other municipal employees you represent, where are they when it comes to wages and health care and sick days?
So we recently won the first collective bargaining agreement for SEIU Virginia 512 in Richmond. And so our Richmond City workers have a collective bargaining agreement now. They were able to negotiate for wages, benefits over the next 3 years. Their contract was just voted on into the budget last night in Richmond. So we're super excited about that. So their contract is in place. They have improved their wages and benefits. In Loudoun County, they won their election in March, so last month. Loudoun County employees, general county employees voted to join SEIU Virginia 512. They are headed to the bargaining table. Their first section is next week. So that contract is being bargained. And in Fairfax County, we are still moving towards an election. We're still gathering the signatures to be able to file for that election. Across the state, employees are saying now is the time to get this to the bargaining table to make sure that they can guarantee those wages and benefits and be able to just earn a living wage and a salary. Virginia is not an inexpensive place to live. And so everyone is just trying to make sure that they can earn a living wage.
Virginia costs too much to live in.
It is a little costly.
It is. Like everywhere else. Yeah. And forgive me for not knowing this. Has the union overall, as SEIU, weighed in? You congratulated President Biden for what he's done, but has SEIU made an endorsement yet?
Yes, our national organization has endorsed.
Okay. So I guess we know who that endorsement is.
Yes.
which is good and bad, because you would like to think that you would have, we only have two parties, that both parties would compete for the support of labor, but only one cares about, the other one would be up the creek without a paddle. He gets back involved if he gets back into the White House. And so that is important. It's important that the workers be protected, have those rights, have enough money to live in Virginia and function.
Right.
For their families, be able to take more days off from work. You said it's 5 days?
5 days.
What is it for the other municipal workers? Like the other ones you represented, it worked for the...
So they earn leave based off of every pay period. They earn leave.
Because their government is right.
So it is substantially more than 5 days.
What are you supposed to do with 5 days of leave?
It is, they go to work sick, unfortunately.
And we're talking about women. Do they get maternity leave?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think we must have broke up. It must be a bad connection. I was asking if women get maternity leave. I thought it sounded like you said no.
No, I did say no. They get 5 paid sick days. That is it.
What?
That is what they are allowed.
Okay, we got to do something about that. So let me ask you this. The politics. Who has the power to change that today if they wanted to? Is that the legislature?
It is the legislature, yes.
Not the governor through executive order, but the legislature. Could the governor work through executive order?
That's a great question. I think the governor can do a lot of things through executive order, so it's very possible. But I think it would be a combination of the legislature and the governor.
That's interesting.
It is.
So where are you all on that? I guess I know you're organizing. Where are you in the process of moving? There has to be. So what do we have? We have a majority since the last election in Virginia in what, the House or the Senate or both?
Both.
So where are the Democrats in the majority on getting that done for you?
So the Democrats can't, the legislature can't do it with, because they can pass it, but then it has to go to the governor's desk for a signature.
Okay.
So it gets vetoed once it gets to the governor's desk, potentially. And so where we are is making sure that we are electing leaders up and down the ticket that are going to support our agenda to make sure that workers are prioritized throughout government, and making sure that they pass laws that are going to prioritize workers and make sure that folks are respected, paid, and protected as they do this work.
So the current Democrats in power in both houses,
right,
themselves, do they lack the will to pass something like that? You still have to... Okay. Okay.
I don't think so. Especially, we do interviews with elected leaders before, for our endorsement process. And they have all come out in support of the issues that we bring forward and have moved bills forward. We are pushing for collective bargaining for home care workers because at the end of the day, that is how we ultimately change the rules and change the game for home care providers in Virginia. And we're pushing for collective bargaining for home care workers so that they can actually have a contract that says that they have paid maternity leave and just overall leave and health care. And we're still pushing for that. And we know the Democrats in the House and in the Senate in Virginia support that.
All right. So we just got to get them on it. We got to get it done.
Exactly. We got to win the governor's mansion back, and then we got to win collective bargaining.
So tell us your story, Lenora, and how you got involved in this and then where you come from and how you rose to be the president representing our workers there in Virginia.
All right. Absolutely. So I'm a child of labor. I grew up in a union household in Savannah, Georgia. My father was the vice president of his local union, and he and my mother taught me the importance of using my voice, of standing up for what is right, and just always remembering who I am and where I come from. And I remember early on learning what it meant to be in a union, learning what it meant to experience the union difference. And so I've just continued to carry that with me at every step of the way. I joined the labor movement in 2003 as an organizer in training. I've worked for SEIU for the last 21 years in various capacities. I've organized workers in all three sectors of our union, property services, healthcare, and the public division, and just continue to be amazed at the power that workers have when we unite and when we make demands and we drive those demands. And I'm committed to making sure that my children also experience the union difference. My husband is a union employee. He works for Fairfax County. And we are committed to continuing to build the generational wealth that we've benefited from. My grandparents, our grandparents, and our parents have worked extremely hard to invest in us. And we deserve to make sure that we keep that going.
And keep that tradition alive. That's very important.
Absolutely.
You need organized labor folks. Without it, we don't have nothing.
Yeah.
I guess I should say we don't have anything. But it sounds, it's more dramatic when you say we don't have nothing. Because we don't. And I'm appalled about what I'm hearing. So there's a lot more work that needs to go into it. And I'm glad Virginia's been a priority.
Yeah.
You know, Virginia ought to be a priority. And Virginia ought to be blue every year, frankly. That don't always work out. Virginia's a little funny, and they do that off-year thing. Because I think the governor comes back up next year, right?
It does, 2025.
Yeah. You going to run for governor?
Oh, thank you.
Is SEIU going to put somebody up to run for governor?
We're looking at all the possibilities and all the candidates that are throwing their hats into the ring.
But I think at some point, I'd like to see a worker.
I agree.
A regular person.
I agree. We strongly encourage our members to run for office. So yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
You don't want to run? You should run.
No, I'm not interested. But thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm just messing with you. I know that's right. But no, that's what we ought to see. And if not, that's someone who's going to be about the workers in Virginia and being sure that they have the living wages, folks, that they have the sick days, that they have the sick leave, that they have the health care and whatnot. So very important. SEIU Virginia 512. And folks, they've got a real fancy website. It's action, just lights up. A lot going on down there. SEIUVA.org. Check them out. And those of you who are listening around the country, hopefully you are active in your local. If not, please, ma'am, please, sir, get involved in it. And I'm sure that we're touching other members of the union around the country. Mary Kay has retired. You all have a new president. I believe it's the first African-American woman president.
Not yet. She is running. So our convention is next month, and we have our first African-American woman who will potentially become the next president. Yeah.
And so you look, Lenora, we look at all of our major unions, most, if not all of them these days, except a couple of them. The only ones, I think UAW, AFT, everybody else is led by the African-American, which speaks to our history and how we have come up and moved up in the ranks. And if not African-American, our Latino and Latina sisters and brothers who are right there, some right alongside us in that pecking order or just right behind us, because we reflect the people who've been doing the hard work. And Lord knows, especially when it comes to the healthcare and home workers, it has been the Black women and the Latina women who've been doing that. So it's high time that we're represented in all of these places. And the more we're represented and the more workers that we see in these places, workers are voters. So that's why I'm saying it's high time we see people who come from the ranks of our laborers running for more of these offices. And of course, governor's a big deal, y'all. But as you say, you encourage people, right? You've got people, you can run for local office, run for state office, because all of these things are important and you can affect everything, all even down ballot. We need people on the school board even. You don't know the difference you can make, all right?
Absolutely.
SEIUVA, folks, SEIUVA.org. Lenora Thomas is the president of SEIUVA.org, Virginia 512, Local 512. Lenora, thank you for joining us on Make It Plain.
Thank you so much, Reverend Mark. It's been an honor to meet you. I look forward to talking to you some more. This has been a lot of fun.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by the Executive Vice President of SEIU Local 32, BJ, Jaime Contreras, joins us. Jaime, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. It's great to be with you, and thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you, man. So first of all, tell us about 32 BJ. Where are you all, and what groups of workers do you comprise, and in what area?
32BJ represents commercial office cleaners, airport workers, security officers. Represent the security officers at the port in Baltimore. And we have also the people who carry around in wheelchairs, our folks who need wheelchairs at the airport, your baggage handlers, terminal cleaners, cabin cleaners. Those are the type of people that we represent. But we also in Virginia, like all the way up in Richmond, we also have the VCU contracted janitors are also part of 32BJ. So we have about 175,000 members all throughout the East Coast. So we're a regional local. We're all the way from Rhode Island down to Florida. In this area, in the capital region, and then that also includes Virginia, Maryland, Baltimore, the Baltimore area, the Richmond area. We have about 21,000 members, including 7,500 that work in live in Virginia.
So now, let's first of all, starting with the airports. Are we talking about all the airports in the capital region? You have members at Dulles National, BWI, or?
We have members at all three of those airports. So DCA, Dulles, and BWI, those workers pull wheelchairs and clean the terminals, fuel the planes, baggage handlers. Those are all members of 32BJ, correct?
Now, you mentioned security officers as well. Where would those individuals be?
So we have all the commercial office security officers in Northern Virginia. We have some non-TSA security officers at DCA. And we also have security officers in DC. Those are the people who, if you walk into a DC city building or school, those officers are members of 32BJ, but also any commercial office building in downtown DC are also part of 32BJ.
Now, you mentioned too the Port of Baltimore, didn't you? And so what are the SEIU workers, what's their role at the Port of Baltimore?
We have the security officers at the port. So those are also part of 32BJ, correct?
Were any of them impacted, any of your workers impacted by the bridge collapse?
Our members at the port are working and they were not directly impacted, obviously indirectly. The emotional toll that I think that's taken on everybody in and around the region, actually. It's draining for everybody. But our members at the port are working, thankfully.
So let's stay at the port for a minute. And folks, this is important because a lot of times we see folk out working and we take for granted they just were born on the cabbage patch. No, workers are in union. and it's funny you mentioned even the wheelchair providers, because I've noticed, man, lately, going in that as much as I travel, I see more and more travelers using wheelchairs. And you need people to do that. Those wheelchairs don't push themselves. But I'm going to go back to the port for a minute. What are some of the, let me start this way. Are your workers' needs, I know you said they were indirectly affected by the bridge collapse, but are your workers' needs at the Port of Baltimore being met? Their outstanding, unfinished issues that you are trying to get addressed for your workers at the Port of Baltimore?
I think in general, first of all, I think that the governor and all the mayor and all the elected officials in Maryland, but also in our Congress and in our president are trying to do what's best to bring some normalcy, if you will, to that region. And I think that's been handled correctly. I think first and foremost, they're focused on taking care of the families who were directly impacted. These are six workers who fell when the bridge fell on the water. Taking care of those workers, it's everyone's number one priority. And I think everybody's trying to focus on that. Obviously, the recovery of the bridge and all that stuff, it's also extremely important, and as dangerous as it is, I think everybody's trying to do the best that they can to, you know, to do what's best, A, for the families, but B, to get the port back and running again, and as they try to figure out how to rebuild the bridge. So I think our workers, the security officer group represent there, are doing a magnificent job, and they, I think, in general, they have been provided the support that they need as they also try to deal with the emotional toll, if you will, of such a tragedy over there.
Now, as far as the airports are concerned, I noticed on you all's Instagram, you all had an event at Dulles, as a matter of fact. What's going on with the airports authority? Are they doing right by you all?
So let me say it this way. Airport workers at DCA and Dulles in particular, who are the two Virginia airports, have organized with 32BJ several years ago. We were able to work with MWA, the Metropolitan Washington Airport Authority, to raise their wages 7 years back. And those wages went from making $7-$8 an hour to around $60 at this time. But throughout the pandemic, all these workers who interact with the public day in and day out, and some of them work two or three shifts at the airport, some of them sleep at the airport, actually. These workers were throughout the pandemic without health care and sick days. And they have been working. We have been in discussions with the airport authority to try to do right by these workers. And airlines are not, you know, they're not, I would say, dying for cash. These airlines got billions and billions of dollars of bailout during the pandemic. Almost none of that trickled down to these workers in the form of wages or benefits like paid leave or paid sick leave or paid health care. And to answer your question, they've done partially right, but they have a long way to go to make sure that these workers do have sick days, that they don't have to choose between showing up to work sick and losing a day's pay because they already struggle to make ends meet, working two and three jobs many times. And so they shouldn't have to feel that they have to show up to work when they're sick, just because they can't afford to lose a day's pay. And that's just wrong. It's wrong at the airports. It's wrong in America in general. Like, people should have sick days. People should have health care. But the reality is, unless you're part of a union, that's rarely the case.
You said some of them sleep at the airport, Jaime?
Oh, yes. Some of these workers at the airport who work through the shifts, they go from one job to the next. And some of them, there's been stories of some of them that they, instead of going to the house for 2 hours or 3 hours, they just stay at the airport and go to the next shift. It's, yeah, it's terrible. But that's what some of these workers have to endure. And part of the formation of the SEIU State Council is really with this new structure, really to come together and organize and mobilize and elect folks who are going to champion our cause, the cause of workers, and really hold corporations and elected officials accountable so that once they're elected, they actually do right by these workers. The airport authority, they're appointed by whoever's in office. So Virginia gets 7 seats on that board. And depending on who's governor, those are the types of people who are on the board. And so elections do matter. And so the state council really is combining our 11,000 members with SEIU 512 to make sure that workers, whether they're home care workers, whether they're janitors, whether they're airport workers, county or city employees, security officers, what have you, that they are given a fair wage, that their rights are respected on the job, but also that they have the basic safety nets like sick days and healthcare that a lot of people just don't have unless they organize.
So I'm curious, we're talking about Dulles and DCA in Virginia. Obviously, you all represent other airport workers around the country. Is this common for airport workers to be treated this way and deny sick leave and sick days? Is that happening pretty much everywhere? Or is this just unique to the Virginia area?
I can tell you, workers at Philly Airport, New York, LaGuardia, Kennedy, Newark, Fort Lauderdale, or LAX, or many airports around the country do provide healthcare and do provide sick days and do provide better wages than we provide our workers at the airport in this region. So it is shameful that the airports, you know, that our congressional people fly in and out of our nation's capital, you know, when they go see their families, that those workers at these airports are outliers in many ways, when almost all the airports along, you know, all the major airports along the East Coast are already providing people some of these basic benefits and good wages. We're lagging behind in Virginia, and this is where, you know, the EMWA really has the authority. Just like they passed a law on a policy that would raise the wages for these workers, they have the right within their means to pass another policy that requires airline contractors and EMWA contractors who do business at these airports to provide their workers with healthcare and sick days. They can do that. It's in their hands. It's just a matter of political, you want to keep the airlines happy, you want to keep the contractors happy. What about the workers who make these airports function every day? Who's taking care of them? And it is a matter of will and political will, but also a matter of just wanting, and we just really wanted these workers to have these basic benefits. It's in their hands. They can do it. There's really no excuse.
And you're right. They do have money. The airlines are rich, as is evidenced by the fact more people are flying. And again, I said, I've seen more and more people using wheelchairs, which means that people are more comfortable flying because they know that someone is going to have a wheelchair for them. And they're going to have a wheelchair for them because your people out there sleeping to work the wheelchair. So we got to take care of the people, folks, that are doing it. I'm not exaggerating. I was on one plane. I'm telling you, it was like a third of the plane was wheelchair bound. And I'm seeing that more and more, which is a good thing that people are able to travel and get out. I confess, a couple of those folks didn't look like they needed one. People do. They got people. You got to take care of the people. So I want to be clear, though. So how does it work? The contractors are hired by EMWA or the airlines. Where does the airline, because we know they have money, where do they come in terms of the flow chart?
And there was a point in time when all of these workers, whether they were wheelchair attendants, plane fuelers, or cabin cleaners, or terminal cleaners, it's a point in time when these workers worked directly for the airline. They were not contracted out. And so through the years, all these jobs have been contracted out that outsource to private companies. And both EMWA hires some of these contractors, but the airline hires most of them. And so they are contracted. The work is outsourced through EMWA, through a contractor that hires the workers, and through the airlines, through these contractors to hire the workers. But at the end of the day, the people who fund these contracts, who fund the wages, it's really the airlines. They're the ones that bring in this contractor. They can require contractors. Look, you have to provide people health. You have to provide sick days. It can be part of their solicitation when they do their bids for these jobs. They can say, oh, these workers work for the airline contractor. They don't work directly for the airline. They can't say that, because at the end of the day, these contractors work directly for the airlines. And so they have an obligation to do right by these workers, especially when during the pandemic, these airlines got upwards of what, like $50 billion in bailout money, our tax money. And so why are they, and to provide workers with sick days and health care is really a micro portion of that money. It doesn't break the bank in no way, shape, or form. So they can do that. And the good thing is workers throughout the Commonwealth are organized. And in recent years, workers had made some advancement in economic racial and immigration justice. They repealed a 45-year ban for collective bargaining agreement for public workers. And now tens of thousands of workers are negotiating good contract with good benefits throughout the Commonwealth. And why at the Air Force, they're not breaking ground here. They're just the outlier. They're the airports in the nation's capital who happen to treat their workers worse than most of the major airports throughout the East Coast and even around the country.
So and when we talk about all the workers, we're inclusive of the custodial workers at the airport, right?
Now, absolutely, yes.
So now, are they paid under the same structure? Or does MY, do some of them work for the airlines as well?
Again, so for example, at DCA, the terminal cleaners at DCA, those are MY contracted workers. So they work for a contractor that works for MY, and those are union. They do have health care. They do have some paid leave, and they do have good wages. But the vast majority of the contract workers at all these airports work directly for an airline contractor. So 5 or 6 years ago, EMWA did pass a policy that required airline contractors to gradually raise the wage for these workers. We've done that. And so just like they did that for their own contractors as well. So just like they did that for the wage, they can do that for pay, sick leave, and for health.
No, absolutely. That's important. What difference, how much of a difference does it make to have a now organized state council? You mentioned some of the politics, so you got to pressure people. Politicians appoint EMWA. Well, first of all, does EMWA, it's somewhat autonomous, isn't it? Once it's appointed, it has its own budget, its own money, or is there still leverage that a state council can apply to politicians and then apply leverage to EMWA?
Absolutely. First of all, our job in the state council is going to be to elect pro-worker politicians who, once appointments come up in Virginia for this board, that they appoint good people who care about the workers and not just the airline and the airline contractors. And so our job is really to combine our power in the state council to elect a good champion elected officials who are going to do right by workers. And once they're elected, they're going to be asked to appoint people who do care about the workers who are making these airports function. And then for the most part, it's work. And D.C., EMWA gets, you have appointees from the federal government, you have D.C. appointees, you have Maryland appointees, and you have Virginia appointees. But Virginia gets the most appointments because the airports are in Virginia, so it gets 7. I think the federal government gets 2 and so forth. But once they're appointed, they are independent. They can pass their own policies, like their own little government, if you will. And so it's within their hands. And it's just, again, it's just a matter of, and workers have expressed interest, whether it's in the Commonwealth or throughout the country. People in general want to be part of a union. The rules are not in their favor when it comes to that, because it's very difficult. There's a lot of employer opposition. And so our job is really to educate people. In Virginia, we've grown. 2007, we had very few members in Virginia. Now we have over 7,500. And just recently, you know, a year ago, we also organized the Cleaners of ECU. 220 cleaners at the Virginia Commonwealth University are now part of the ADBJ. They went from making $12 an hour to $16.30 an hour with sick days and with health, improved health benefits and so forth. And that's what a union difference makes.
You mentioned people working double shifts and having to spend the night. But if I am sick and I have no sick days, what do? I go to work sick. Is that what I do?
That's what most people do. And that's a risk for themselves, but also a risk for the public. And they don't do it because they just want to show up sick. They just can't afford to lose a day's pay. A, the wages are not that great. And so you are forced to work two jobs. And again, many times three jobs. And yeah, if you call out sick, you're going to lose whatever, 10, 16 hours of pay. That makes a dent in your check. And these workers are already having to figure out how to make ends meet with the low wages that they make. And that's why they work two jobs and sometimes three jobs. And again, if you're sick, you should stay home and you should get paid. And then not put yourself and other people at risk. But unfortunately, those are the choices working people have to make. Not just, again, not just in the airport, but just in general in this country. And that's just not right.
You know what else? Now we're talking about that and people being sick. You know what else is interesting about this and brings to mind? I'm willing to bet a lot of folk, because that's where people get sick, at the airport. Because there's so much traffic. You get sick at an airport. That's why some people still mask up at the airport. So you mean to tell me I'm working at your airport, whatever sickness I get, I might actually get at the airport. And I still have to stay at the airport where I got sick and stay sick and work. And then other people get sick because I'm sick, and it's just the ever-spinning wheel.
And then you get, again, you put your family at risk. You, and so it's just like a vicious cycle that we have to break.
Or maybe, Jaime, I, now that you say it, I can think of another. Maybe I don't put my family at risk because I'm going to deliberately spend the night. So I don't put my family at risk. And that's a decision that somebody shouldn't have to make, right?
Yeah, but most of those people, we had, during the height of the pandemic at DCA, we had a group of, it was like 80 workers who went to church. Somebody was sick and 80 people got sick and they all went to work. So they did. So they went to work sick. After their shift, you know, if you get COVID, it's going to be in your system for 5 days. You're not going to be at the airport for 4 or 5 days. So you do at some point have to go to your house and see your family and put the, so it is, this is you putting yourself, community, but also the traveling public. And again, those are not choices people make lightly, but it is a choice that the people have to make because, again, if you make already low wages, if you're already having a hard time making ends meet, and then you miss two shifts or three shifts at the airport, or wherever you work because you're sick, it's really, that could be the difference between paying the rent and putting food on the table for a lot of these workers.
Congratulations on the organizing you're doing and more people joining. Folks, this is why we have unions. This is why we need unions. So that we can stand up for those. None of us who has whatever job we have today has anything we have because it just, folks were nice and gave it to us. It had to be pressured. It had to be negotiated. Companies and management don't want to spend money. They want to make a profit. And if they can make a profit without giving the workers what they deserve, and people are not going to give very few places have given workers what they deserve. We have had to demand it. Say, hold it. Just 1 minute. This is what we're supposed to have. But if you're quiet, right? Then, and as Jaime said, the pressure in Virginia not to organize, not to be a part of a union is also, are there other places where people in Virginia, where people are trying to organize and being prevented or hindered from doing so? Are we on the cusp of setting up locals and other places that heretofore have been resistant?
Yeah, so SEIU 32BJ, SEIU 512 were two organizing locals in Virginia. I know there's other unions who are trying to organize in Virginia. And just workers in general, right? So just recently, the Volkswagen workers in Tennessee voted to be part of a union. And it's been a long time coming. And most workers, whether it's in Virginia or around the country, if you give them a choice, whether they 70% of workers want to be part of a union. But the reality is the law is like Virginia is still a right to work state. I call it a right to work for less state where people don't have to pay dues. And therefore, to organize groups of workers, it takes millions of dollars. And so how do unions fund themselves to run these big campaigns? It's in a right to work state. So there's a lot of things working against us in Virginia, but our goal as SEIU and the SEIU State Council and the two locals is really to try to change some of these rules, hold politicians accountable so we can hold corporations accountable. And look, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people don't know that unions are the folks that brought you the weekend or the 40-hour work week. And, you know, some of the things that we take for granted that we think is, like you said, somebody was nice and just gave it to us. No, there were people who fought for this and shed blood and tears many years ago before you and I were around. And to form unions to change these rules so that workers can have some of the very, very basic things like a 40-hour work week and the weekend. And if you work more than 40 hours, you get overtime and so right. forth and so on. So that's what unions do. And that's why most people in this country want to be part of it.
Amen.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jaime Contreras is Executive Vice President of SEIU Local 32BJ in the Commonwealth of Virginia, working hard as SEIU always does for its workers and for our people. And again, folks, don't overlook those you encounter. When you're in the airport and you want to go to the bathroom, somebody's in there cleaning the bathroom, don't overlook those people. They're all important and they deserve to be treated fairly. And I remind everyone, Dr. King gave his life for the sanitation workers trying to organize AFSCME in Memphis, but he did say the SEIU was his favorite union. So, you know, that's important for us to keep in mind. These kinds of conversations make me even more conscientious about what our everyday workers go through, and they should make you conscientious as well. Again, Jaime Contreras, Executive Vice President, SEIU Local 32BJ in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Thank you, Jaime. Keep up the great work, man.
Thank you for having me. The workers and the public really appreciate your interest in this story. We're here to make Virginia not just for lovers, but also for workers and for unions. That's our goal as a state council. That's our goal as SEIU. And so to do that, we need to change the rules. And to do that, we need to elect good people and also organize every worker that wants to be part of a union. That's what we set out to do.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.